And now for something completely different.
Is what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD devotional diamond of the day, the title, Handling Situations. Handling Situations. Plus, we'll examine when the world fails you in regards to hoping. And sometimes, you might know this, it's darkest before the light. And we'll close it out with being in the right atmosphere.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. Growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Christ, and his life turned around. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experience with as many people as he could. Then he found K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Yeah. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Not so much this hour. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, right here on KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Short break, and then we're coming back. Stand by.
The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. I want to let you know a couple of really important things. One, we need to send an email over to Craig because the mic's about to fall off again. Two, you can reach the show by sending an email to davidspoon@kprz.com. Also, you can go to our Facebook page, type in The David Spoon Experience. You're welcome to make a comment, send it to me a message. You can like it, do whatever you like. Also, the third thing I want to encourage you to do is to go to hisappointment.com. I've decided in 2017 I'm going to be a little bit more, I don't know, forthcoming about the helpfulness I think that the book is bringing. We took a passage of the book and we sent it out on Facebook and we had a bunch of people respond to it. And we would encourage you, if you've gone through a tough time trying to figure it out in the Lord, I encourage you to go to hisappointment.com and pick up either an e-copy. It's easier just to get, by the way, the paperback copy or the hard book copy, but the hard one is more money, so you don't have to do that. We're going to get into a DDD called Handling Situations. So right now I'm going to handle this situation because my microphone is half hanging and half about to go. So we're going to let Craig know just so he can know in between the segments that he might be able to do something. But in the meantime, we're going to have a good time and talk about handling situations. Handling situations. So after the seg, we'll get that taken care of. Here we go. Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 42. We're not going to read that whole thing because you would just fall off your chair and change the station, and I wouldn't blame you. So let's start in the very beginning and talk about handling situations. Here it is, Mark chapter 5, verse 21 through 42, but we're just going to do verses 21, 22, 23, 24. Here we go. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed and pressed around him. I want you to catch a little bit of the picture. I think you can appreciate this. Okay? There's a synagogue leader. His name is Jairus. And he came to Jesus and he fell at Jesus' feet. And he did something that you and I, for some reason, have a hard time doing right in the beginning of a scenario. Okay? He came, he fell on his knees, and he pleaded with Jesus because his little daughter was dying. He said, please come, put your hands on her so she'll be healed and live. Listen to what he did that's unique. Ready? That's the biggest thing there is. Ready? He asked Jesus to enter the situation. He asked Jesus to enter the situation. I always thought one of the greatest bumper stickers in the world that we could get. Maybe somebody will make it one day, and you don't have to give me any rights for it or anything like that, but just, you know, just this bumper sticker that says, you could ask Jesus to help. I think that would be such a good bumper sticker because there's so many people going through so many different trials and so many different struggles, and sometimes you're just looking for somebody to help you. Well, Jairus, in his situation, maybe he was, you know, a little more desperate because his daughter was dying. He came to Jesus and he fell at Jesus' feet and he simply said, can you enter this situation? Can you help me in this situation? Can you help me? Check your eye out. So the bottom line is when you're in a situation, you feel like you want to do all that you can. And who doesn't understand that? Everybody understands that. You want to do all that you can do that you can put your hands on. I know. But you know what? If your situation is little or your situation is medium or it's big, you can start off this process by asking Jesus to enter the situation. Instead of you trying to do it all on your own, this is what I do. I don't know about you guys. If you do this, I do this. So I face something, and then what I do is I try and solve. I'm going to solve it. I'm going to resolve it. I'm going to take care of everything. I'm going to solve this. And then when I get a little bit more despondent, I get a little more desperate, I get, you know, almost like a defiant attitude. No, I'm going to take care of this. I can get this done. Then when I realize it's beyond my scope, then you know what I do? I go, oh, Lord, can you please now help me? For I have done all I can do. But see, one of the things that we should really practice as Christians is starting with asking Jesus to help, not trying to finish asking with Jesus to help. In other words, in our mindset, we're thinking, well, you know, I've got to do everything I can do, then I'll give it to God. Okay, how about this one? Start off by giving it to God first. Maybe he'll give you insight as you're going through. You know what the backstop is that we always go to God when there's nowhere else to go, right? Because he'll have the answer. He'll help us. He'll bring us into that solution. Okay, but why don't you start that way? Since he has the answer anyway, why don't I start the process by going, help me, God? Instead, I go, wait, God, you have to wait up there. I have to exhaust everything first. Then I'll get in touch with you. Doesn't that seem a little backwards from a faith point of view? Shouldn't we come first to the Lord? I have met thousands of Christians who will tell me, I've done all that I can do, and now I'm just committing it to the Lord and trusting that he'll do something. And it's like you're just sitting there going, okay, but if you could have started that way, you probably could have saved yourself a little grief. You know, it's like because you come to God as the backstop, the last answer, the only place you... Wait a minute. If he's got the answer, why not go there first? What is it in us that says, I will solve this? You see, in that mindset, we still feel like we have this level of control and we have this level of power. And again, somebody said this the other day to me, and God bless them. I just want to, you know, kind of give them a pat on the head. They go, well, the Lord will never give you more than you can handle. Yep. Yeah, except Scripture never says that. It does say he won't let you be tempted beyond what you are able, but it never says he won't give you what you can't handle. In fact, it says the opposite. Oftentimes, God will give you more than you can handle so you can know that only a miracle can get you out so that God can go, it was me. And you're sitting there thinking, wow, I never could have gotten out of that. That was a miracle that I got out of that. And God's going, yeah, I know. That's how I set it up. So that you have to look to me instead of you. And in our brains, we're thinking, well, wait a second. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, why would God give you more than you can handle? So you can be fully dependent on God. That's why. How are you doing, you controlling your own salvation? How's that working out? Not good? Oh, yeah. So that's why it's dependent on God. But he won't give me more than I can handle. Why do you think we have prayer? So that exactly that. So that you're like going, ding, ding, ding. Tilt, 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 tilt. Help me, God. Help me, God. And the Lord is like, I'm right here to help. What a challenge to the common statement. He won't give you more than you. What a challenge. Yet, scripturally, here's the fact. God, in multiple circumstances, put it beyond the reach of people so they would be fully dependent on him. You want a great example? How about Gideon, who had 10,000 soldiers, but God said, no, no. You're going to take it down to 300 so that you can't brag that you did it. And then you'll know that I'm the one that did it. Doesn't that just blow your mind? Like, uh-oh. You mean, uh-oh? Like, yeah, sorry, uh-oh. That's faith. You want to handle a situation? Hand it off to God and let him tell you what your part and your play in it is. And you might give yourself a little less grief. Hey, that's a smoking idea. I like that. Yeah. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, fixing the microphone, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
From the San Diego studios of KPRZ, 1210 AM, KPRZ, this is the David Spoon Experience.
This is John MacArthur inviting you to join me for Portraits of Grace. Our society puts a lot of pressure on people to have all the right things and to look the right way. Well, these materialistic temptations can attack us in several ways. First, there's economic status. You know, many people boast about their riches, thinking they must be great for acquiring so much. And a related area is pride in one's class, you know, sort of an accompanying disdain for those on the lower levels of society. And advertisers today continually entice us to call attention to ourselves by what we wear. Well, the Apostle Paul said, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. The world is passing away and also its lusts. Don't let the world tell you what you should seek or value. Remember instead that the one who does the will of God abides forever." This is John MacArthur, trusting your lives are portraits of grace.
There, all done with the roof.
You call that a roof? You need to call Eric at Excalibur Roofing to get the job done right. Excalibur Roofing, they know how to do a roof right.
What's this?
It's a cell phone.
What's a cell phone?
Never mind. Just dial these numbers. 760-743-8803. That's 760-743-8803. And ask Eric at Excalibur Roofing to help you with your roof. His work is good. He even gives free estimates.
What's an estimate?
He also has a website on the internet, ExcaliburRoofing.com.
What's an internet?
Are you done loading the animals into the ark?
Not yet. By the way, why am I doing this again?
How long can you tread water?
Right.
Here's a quiz for you. What do we call people with gray hair, empty wallets, calloused knees, and dented cars? If you guess parents, you're right. Here's another one. What do we call people with huge hearts, open hands, encouraging words, and the patience of Job? If you guessed parents, you're right again. Parents are nothing less than God's link from one generation to the next. And I'm convinced He gives more grace to parents than anyone. But we need all the help we can get. Fortunately, we have a great role model in the Bible, God Himself, our Heavenly Father. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Get to know God your Father on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com and get your roadmap to life today.
From the San Diego studios of K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ, this is the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. All right, I'm not gonna be dishonest. That was a little bit of fun to discuss the God won't give you more than you can handle scenario. I like that. I like going through that and going, look, we are a dependent people on God. You know that saying, the Lord will help those who help themselves? Not in the Bible. Just think of that thing. All those statements. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Not in the Bible. You know, money is the root of all evil. Not in the Bible. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Did you hear all these statements? What do you think?
Cleanliness is godliness must have been made by a guy with like OCD or germaphobe.
Yeah, or a detergent company. I mean, I'm just saying.
Clorox.
It's got to be something like, it's like, come on. No, some of these are really ancient, but ancient doesn't mean right. There's a lot of ancient stuff that's wrong. By the way, just a quick update. Steve Wheeler from the country I still cannot pronounce. I'm not kidding you. Just called to say that they're doing great. The Lord's amazing. Wonderful things are taking place in the kingdom of God. So I'm looking forward to when he comes back. He'll be one of the first interviews we do because I love hearing what God is doing in the field, in the mission fields, you know, reaching to people that have never heard. And I know every time he comes in, he's got story after story. It's awesome. So looking forward to that. And I want to thank Craig for coming in here and fixing the microphone. If you hear a microphone drop, it doesn't mean I did such a good segment. I'm walking out. It would actually be the microphone dropping. As opposed to anything else. Let's go into our next little segment. So we were talking about Mark chapter 5, verse 21, how the synagogue ruler had come to Jesus and asked Jesus to enter the situation. And then that's just the better part of wisdom, is to ask the Lord's help right away. Why would we wait? That next story in that Mark portion is an amazing story. I only have so many minutes to cover. It's a lot to cover. I'm just going to try and kind of condense it. But if you'll remember the story, there's a woman that came to him while Jesus was on the way. Jesus was on the way to go help this dying daughter. And here's what it says in Mark 25:25. And there was a woman there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt it in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized the power had gone out from him and he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples asked, and yet you can ask who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. What an excellent portion of scripture. Oh, I love scripture. All right. This poor lady, suffering for 12 years, went from bad to worse. You know what she did? She did what we would do, and there's no knock here in any capacity, but she went to doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor looking for solution after solution after solution after solution. And after 12 years, the definition of scripture says she had spent all she had in the care of many doctors, yet she grew worse. How discouraging, right? Come on. You got $5,000 in the bank. You spend every single penny trying to get better. You've got two pennies left in the bank, and you're not one smidge better, and you're worse? Ugh, right? Discouraging, for sure. So she thought, if I touch Jesus' clothes, if I just touch this guy, I'm going to get better. So she found a place of hope in the Messiah when everything else was hopeless. When the world fails you and falls in their ability to give you continued hope, you can always count on the fact that you should be finding that hope in Jesus Christ anyway, because the world will ultimately fail as your body will ultimately fail. She touches Jesus, and immediately, verse 29, immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Love this portion because this is a key component in understanding the Lord. When you have had contact with God, you know it. Did you hear what I said? You know. I don't care if anybody else knows it. You know it. When you've had genuine contact with God, you know it. She touched Jesus. She touched God. And immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. She found instant deliverance when she touched Jesus Christ. Wow. You imagine in her mind after she went through 12 years of not getting better at all and everything was horrible that she finally touches Jesus and she gets the full healing that she's looking for, and she knows it right away. Oh, how cool. I mean, how awesome for her. At once, Jesus realized power had gone out from him. He turned around to the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And then the disciples are like, "You mean, are you kidding? Look at all these people. What do you mean, who touched your clothes? How could you even ask that question? There's hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people. How are you asking that question?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Now, people are thinking, well, why? I mean, why? I mean, Jesus knew power came out of him, but why is he looking around for the person that touched him? What's the deal? I'll tell you why. Watch this. This is just fantastic. She received a physical healing, didn't she? She had an issue of blood. It was immediately changed. She was immediately healed when she touched Jesus. But you know what happens when you have an issue of blood and you're a woman? You're not allowed to socialize. In the time of Israel, in the time of Jerusalem, in the time of the New Testament, if you had an issue of blood, you were cast out socially, not allowed to attend social events because you had a disease. But Jesus, after healing her physically, calls her up in front of the crowd so that the entire crowd can know she was healed. Guess what that would do? That would heal her socially because now the crowd would know, well, she was that woman that had the issue of blood, but now she's been healed. So she's no longer cast out or cast aside. She's allowed to participate. And just let's be honest, if you were a person who had a physical ailment and because of that physical ailment, you were cast out socially and that ailment was corrected or healed, and then you were socially healed. Can I just ask the question? Don't get mad at me, but how much of a psychological benefit or healing would that then create? So this woman who touched Jesus, physically healed, socially healed, and psychologically healed, all because she touched the Lord. I know you're thinking, but that can't be right. It's just a physical healing. No way. Jesus calls her up in public and even speaks to her in front of the public and says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Thereby pronouncing, remember, it's a rabbi pronouncing she's clean. And thereby making her acceptable. Yowza! I don't know how people can read this and not get jazzed. You got to help me here. Because that is so cool. Wouldn't you like to have been a person on the side of the road watching this going, "Whoa, did you see that? Did you see that? That woman, did you see that whole thing? Oh, my God." How awesome. is the power of Jesus Christ. If you touch him, you will be changed. How about that? Reach for him. If you've never done so in your life, make that conscious decision. Say that one thing we said in that last segment. Say, Jesus, help me. Help my situation. Enter into this. Be with me in this process. And then watch the Son of God change the lives around. Oh, it's fantastic. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, then we're coming back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience continues on KPRZ 1210 AM, KPRZ.
The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. Hello, I'm Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council in Washington. If you're looking for the real war on women, try pornography. A new study says that frequent viewers of porn may be contributing more toward the negative view of women than anything. Psychologists who have worked with several young men found that the more often they looked at these images, the more disrespectful their attitudes toward females became. And it's not just their feelings on women that changed. Pornography also made these young men more acceptable of sexual abuse and rape. Quote, pornography, whether softcore or hardcore, sends the message that women's bodies are commodities available for consumption, said the executive director of the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. A society where any form of pornography is pervasive and accepted is a society that is less safe and less equal for women, end quote. Pornography doesn't empower women, it degrades them, and it's time society admitted it. For more, go to TonyPerkins.com.
VeteranSight.com says acts of kindness can touch our hearts, especially when we receive blessings from strangers, and they have a good example. This is Truth Itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. One new mother, Rebecca Garvison, found that a stranger's compassionate actions transformed a potentially negative experience for her and her baby into one of blessing. She wrote about the event in a Facebook post that quickly went viral. When Garvison boarded a 5:30 a.m. flight in Chicago, she was already feeling stressed and nervous, especially when she noticed that the flight was full. Traveling alone with her infant child, Riley, was taxing, but anticipation of surprising her military husband in Atlanta was also weighing on her mind. As people on the plane glanced uncomfortably at the infant who began to fuss as soon as the plane began to taxi, Garvison said she became even more distressed. However, a seat change ended up changing the course of the flight for the young mother. She moved away from her irritated in-flight neighbors and chose a seat next to Nifesha Miller. When Miller offered to hold the crying infant, Garvison agreed and was astonished to see her daughter calm down, gaze out the window, and eventually fall asleep in Miller's arms. The website pointed out, people often offer compassion and kindness when it's least expected. Miller's genuine nurturing of a stranger's baby helped prompt one mother to count her blessings, both in the air and on the ground. As healthcare costs continue to rise, many Christians are feeling the pinch. If you've been forced to choose between high health insurance premiums and huge tax penalties, it's time you considered a truly affordable alternative, MediShare. Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. MediShare is not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable, biblical healthcare. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on KPRZ 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Gonna do a quick check on the weather. Is that all right? I'm looking right at you, Tugboat Todd. I'm looking right at you. Where's my tugboat? Love it. Okay, looking right at you, and I'm gonna tell you the weather. It's nicer than 49 other states.
Wow, how do you know that?
I don't know. And then watch this. It's pretty much nicer than most of the rest of California as well. Wait, let me do this. And it's a much better city, but we need to do a little bit of work on our sports elements. Okay, got it. Oh, I nailed it. I was just looking out there, and I hit it exactly correct.
Sure did.
Yeah. If you are on the road at this time, whether it's in the afternoon or in the replay evening, I can tell you one thing. It doesn't matter what your pace is, as long as you're connected to the Lord. So relax. Take a deep breath. And if you're at home going, I don't like it when he does that because I'm at home and then I think somebody's on the road, relax. And if you're really uptight, relax. I think the theory here, relax. All right. So we did in our very first segment talked about handling situations and that sometimes God drops on you more than you can handle, contrary to whoever said, God will never give you more than you can handle. Not the scripture doesn't say that. It simply says God will never tempt you or allow you. Sorry. God will never allow you to be tempted. I got to say that correctly. God will never allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. The word tempted is not the same word as handled. So I want to make sure you make that differential. And then we talked about the connection from that scenario because we were talking originally about the synagogue ruler and him coming on behalf of his daughter. Then we cut in, as scripture does in Mark chapter 5, about the woman who had the issue of blood and talked about the Lord changing her life. She touched him and he healed her physically, socially, and psychologically. I mean, that is cool stuff. Now the story shifts back to Jesus going to the synagogue leader's home. The story moves back in regards to the guy's daughter. So how Mark 5 sets up is a guy comes, the synagogue leader comes, asks Jesus for some help. Jesus says, all right, let's go. He's on the way. And that woman who has the issue of blood has that encounter with him while he's on the way. Okay, well, now that the woman with the issue of blood is done, we go back to the story where Jesus is still headed to the synagogue leader's house to help with the daughter. That's where we pick this up. And it says, and so the lady is freed from her suffering. The very next verse, verse 35. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and said, your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? I don't know how more definitive you get. You know, some people are like, well, she wasn't really dead. Okay, look, here's what the text says. Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? And Jesus says, what? Any parent would want to hear, but nobody can believe that he said it. He said, overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, referring to Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe. Wow. 1 second of your life, put yourself in Jairus' shoes. You go to Jesus because your daughter is in the process of dying. He's en route. A lady comes in, which kind of disrupts the flow with Jesus walking. I mean, you can acknowledge that. Might have taken a minute, might have taken longer. Maybe you're Jairus thinking, don't stop him. I need him to get to my daughter. Messengers come to him. So there was already, it would seem like there was already a foregone conclusion. Hey, your daughter's already passed. There's no point in even asking. Jesus hears that and says, it's not over until I say it's over. And says, don't be afraid, just believe. So for Jairus, this went from worse to the worst. You understand? As a parent, you understand? As a, even as a sibling, even as a child, you understand? It went from worse to the worst. And while they came and didn't give any bad message, they were just conveying the news, and no doubt in their grief, they're like, don't bother him anymore. There's no point. You know, I mean, that's really kind of what seems to be going on. Jesus gives him the don't be afraid, just believe, which is very much like the blind man who ignored all the people. It's like sometimes you got to ignore everything around you and zone, make that zone connection with God. And sometimes that's what you got to do, folks. You got to just connect to the Lord. You know, we got to, we'll do the song later. So don't worry about the song. So the idea is that this situation was just drastic. And the key from God is the first thing Jesus is telling him is, hey, you know what? Just ignore that right now. And then Jesus says this other, don't be afraid, because fear, folks, fear is that immobilizer. Fear is that thing in your life that stops you and doesn't give faith the opportunity to function. fear is what immobilizes you. It stops you. Fear gives doubt wings. You know how you got all those commercial Red Bull commercials and stuff like that? Well, fear gives doubt its wings. And it's like, whoa, that's not good. Right. So Jesus tries to cut it off. Look how he does. He tries to cut it off by telling Jairus, don't be afraid. That's the first thing he says. I mean, I would have thought Jesus would have said, what they said is not true. But no, don't be afraid, because the fear will lay the groundwork and the wing work for doubt, and doubt will stop Jairus for even stepping forward with Jesus to see his own daughter. Oh, man. Don't be afraid, just believe. And in this case, folks, this believing would be Jairus taking a stand to believe that God is greater in the circumstance. I would say this, and I think most people back me up in this. This is the wonderful picture of God giving Jairus more than he can handle, because he could not do anything. The child was dead. But Jesus said, don't be afraid. Just believe. Not just quit. Not just walk away. Not just pout. Not just complain, not any of that. Just believe. Because that faith moves mountains. Think of that. His faith was actually taking a stand. His moment of faith was taking a stand. And maybe that stand were to the principalities and powers in high places. Maybe that stand was to the people around. Maybe angels saw it and demons saw it. Maybe everybody saw it. He was going to take a stand. He was going to believe. And that was going to make a statement. And God was going to be glorified in this process. Sometimes when you're going through it, as bad as it can be, you got to ignore what your natural eye sees. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. And sometimes you really do, believe it or not, as a Christian, have to walk by faith. And when you're walking by faith, you got to make sure not to walk with fear, because fear will cancel out that faith. Fear will give strength to doubt. And you already know that doubt and faith, they don't work well together. It's not a good chemical mix. And sometimes you just got to believe and take a stand. I'd like to share with you a myriad of stories. I just can't do it at this particular time. But story after story in my journey where sometimes we just said, God, all we can do is take this stand in you and have the wonderful, miraculous power of God change a situation. Don't tell me God doesn't do miracles. Oh, I don't think he does tele-evangelism miracles or each, you know, I don't think all of that's bad, but most of it's bad. A lot of it's bad. But don't tell me God doesn't do miracles. When you said yes to him, that was a miracle. You came back from the spiritually dead so he can gift you with eternal life. Isn't that a miracle? I thought that was. He does miracles all the time, every day. What, because you can't put it in a thesis paper? You don't accept it? It's insanity. You want a thesis paper? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read them. You'll find out how smart God really is and how powerful he is, too. Take a stand. Don't let fear get the best of you. Ignore what everything is around from time to time. Just be like the blind man. Ignore the crowd. Take a stand and be a believer. All right, when we come back, we're going to finish this up and look at the right atmosphere. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on KPRZ, 1210 a.m., KPRZ.
Mercy is the fact that God's going to take your issue seriously, not because it's a serious issue, but because it's your issue.
Pastor Andy Stanley explains on today's Focus on the Family Minute why Jesus relates with your pain.
Mercy is Jesus standing outside the tomb of Lazarus, and he already knows what he's going to do, and he already knows he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and he knows he's going to be the star of the show, and everything's going to work out. And Jesus walks up to the tomb of Lazarus, and before he does his big deal, and his big miracle, before he intervenes the way they want him to intervene, this is so huge. Jesus pauses outside of the tomb of Lazarus, and the Bible says in John 11 that he wept. Your Savior understands, and he's not too big and busy to feel what you feel. Mercy is, I know. And you just keep bringing it every single time to me, and my frontline response to you is going to be mercy.
You'll hear more about God's mercy today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
Wow! In addition to being experts at new roof construction, old roof repairs, remodeling and maintenance, did you know that Excalibur Roofing is also an expert in waterproofing? That's right. No water allowed. Sorry, rubber ducky. From using the top-of-the-line Life Deck systems for deck coating to flat or sloping roofs, Excalibur Roofing covers the angles. Get it? With over 20 years of experience, an active member in the BBB, licensed and bonded in roofing classifications, plus testimonials from people just like you, you can count on Excalibur Roofing. Call 760-743-8803. That number again, 760-743-8803. Or go online to their website at excaliberroofing.com. The best part of all their estimates are free. Just give them a call. What have you got to lose? But leaks, not onions. 760-743-8803. For residential or commercial help, remember, Excalibur Roofing. They've got you covered.
Pastor Ray Bentley invites you to come to Maranatha Chapel to celebrate the Feast of Trumpets on Monday, October 3rd at 7 p.m. It's a unique event that's become a traditional celebration at Maranatha Chapel, an inspirational reminder and rehearsal of end times prophecy. Enjoy a special message from Pastor Ray and music by Leland.
The sound of melodies, God, the sound of melodies, rising unto you, rising unto you.
Leland at Maranatha Chapel for the Feast of Trumpets, Monday, October 3rd. Learn what the biblical Feast of Trumpets is all about. For more information and directions, go to maranathachapel.org or call 858-613-7800. That's at Maranatha Chapel in San Diego, Monday, October 3rd at 7 p.m. Go to maranathachapel.org or call 858-613-7800.
The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise, 1210 a.m., KPRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California. A quick reminder, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. I want to give a shout-out to Tugboat Todd for doing his first week in the producing chair. Do you know how much I like that? I mean, I do. I like that. It's just, I think it's great.
I hope the listeners do, too.
Yeah, I do, too. Because you're going to hear a lot more of it as we always bring in Tugboat Todd. Right there. See, you can't do, you got to get rid of the one. Do you have it looped? Because you got to have to change that. All right. All right. Let's finish up on our story. And this one is called The Right Atmosphere. So what we talked about in the very first segment is handling situations and recognizing that from Scripture, not from people who make very cool statements, but from Scripture, the Lord never says he won't give you stuff that you're able to handle. He'll never give you too much where you can't handle it. I mean, people say that all the time. It's just not true. What he will do is never allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But he never says he won't give you so much stuff that you can't handle it, because that's why miracles exist, to testify to God's connection to you. And we kind of jumped in on that story in Mark chapter 5, and that was the beginning part of that was the synagogue ruler, Jairus, who was asking Jesus for help in this situation. We also talked about making sure that we start our situations by asking the Lord to help, not at the end of it, but at the beginning, where we should be doing that. And then as we look at the story in Mark, you see this woman who's got an issue of blood, and Jesus physically socially and psychologically healing her. And then after that comes to a close, there are messengers that come to Jairus and say, your daughter's dead. And Jesus' response is, wait, ignore that. Don't be afraid and believe, which is a radical faith. If you don't think Christian faith is radical, think of this one concept and do it, and then come back and talk to me. In order to live according to Scripture and according to Jesus Christ, you have to die. That's radical. In order to receive, you have to give. In order to see, you have to believe. Everything in the opposite of the world's ways, right?
Right.
So I want to close this out understanding the atmosphere cleansing process. So here we are in verse 37, after Jesus tells Jairus to don't be afraid, just believe. Verse 37, he did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "What? Why all this commotion and this wailing? This child is not dead, but asleep." And they laughed at him. He put them all out and took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Some people say it's Talitha cum. That's okay. Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished, and he gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. You know what Jesus did? He took the parents. He took the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. He went into the room. The people were wailing. He's like, what are you doing? What are you crying? What are you wailing? This child's not dead, but asleep. They laughed at him. More of a mocking. Like, oh, what do you know? And what did Jesus do? He put them all out. This is the nicest way to say this. He got everybody who was not in the right mind out of there. Like, get out. Everybody, get out. All you people that are fake moaning and mocking me, get out, get out, get out. And all that was left was Jesus, Peter, James, and John, Jairus and his wife, and the child. There was nobody left. Jesus cleaned the room, cleaned the atmosphere. Wanted the right atmosphere, because the reality is that they were going to operate in a miraculous moment. And Peter, James, and John, and Jairus and his wife needed no doubt being thrown at them, no mocking being thrown at them, no outside influence being thrown at them. They just needed to be in the room with Jesus. And the result, of course, is God working in an astonishing manner. But look at what had to take place. Jesus had to remove these people from draining the parents and the disciples of faith, and drain and pull them away from them and make the atmosphere one that was conducive for what he was about to do. If that is not a testimony from God to humanity that simply states, don't fill your ears with things that draw you away from God and his power. I mean, all the things that we allow in our lives, the entertainment things are okay to a degree, unless they drain your capacity to believe God. Then it's not okay. If you watch news and you look at the internet and you listen to radio and you're draining your capacity to see God because you're so caught up in the worldly vision of things that are going on, you're hurting your faith. I don't care what radio station. I don't care what television. I don't care what website. The atmosphere has to be conducive. It has to be appropriate. It has to be right. And Jesus made that atmosphere right. He cleared the air. He was facing the fact this child was dead, made a bold confession this child is not actually dead but sleeping. It was an expression of faith. He then removed these people from draining that contagious faith from Jairus, the wife, and the disciples. And then the results are the work of God being astonishing, changing, altering, raising the dead. Girl was 12 years old. There was no mystery as to whether she was dead or not. She was dead. But Jesus showed his power and showed the way to approach that. When you get together and you pray, you know what you should not do? Is allow the atmosphere to drain the faith. Which is why one of the reasons we talk to people and say, you know, why don't you just put on a worship album? Or why don't you put on a good sermon? Or why don't you get into some good fellowship so you can change the air around you? That's a right thing, not a wrong thing. That's a Jesus thing. Get it? You get it? That is powerful. Make the space that way. Make it the right atmosphere. All right? Okay. All right, folks. You have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Taking a 70-hour break. Then we'll be back. More insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
More local, national, and heavenly talk coming up.
Cameron John here for your San Diego Middays After Spoons. Welcome to AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station. Hope you're having a very blessed Friday. Thank you so much for spending some time with me. It is almost quitting time, which means it's almost weekend time. Some of you may have already started on your weekend festivities. Coming up in just a bit, it is The Word on Investing with Pastor David Mitchell. Now, if you want to get more from the David Spoon Experience before we get started, just visit KPRZ.com, click on the podcast link, and then you can listen to all of his previous broadcasts, or you can stay tuned till 11 p.m. this evening and every Monday through Friday for a one-hour replay of the David Spoon Experience. Till then, here comes Pastor David Mitchell and The Word on Investing. We also have some SRN news to get to as well. Stay tuned. It's AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Sometimes we want to tackle things on our own, like fixing a leaky toilet or duct taping a small crack. Other times we need to skip the do-it-yourself attitude and get somebody who knows what they're doing so the job gets done right. Excalibur Roofing gets the job done right for new roof construction, old roof replacements, and repairs. With over 20 years of experience, an active member in the BBB, licensed and bonded, and testimonials from people just like you, Excalibur Roofing is your knight in shining armor. There's a big difference between a general contractor and a roofing contractor. You want a roofing contractor like Eric at Excalibur Roofing. Otherwise, it's just like going to the family pediatrician and saying, Doc, I need some brain surgery, so just pull out that scalpel. I can get her done. Not a smooth move. Get it done right. Just call Excalibur Roofing at 760-743-8803. That's 760-743-8803. Or go to their website at excaliburroofing.com. All estimates are free. Call Eric at 760-743-8803. Remember, Excalibur Roofing, they've got you covered.
Hi, this is Brian Newberry, pastor of Calvary Chapel San Diego. We would like to invite you out for a special evening, Coming Home for Christmas, with Dennis Agajanian. December 21st, 7 p.m. at Calvary Chapel San Diego. That's Coming Home for Christmas with Dennis Agajanian. December 21st at 7 p.m. at Calvary Chapel San Diego. For more information, calvarysandiego.com.
From Washington, D.C., it's the Cal Thomas Commentary. And now, here is America's number one syndicated columnist, Cal Thomas.
The layman's definition for insanity has become a cliche, but that doesn't mean it isn't true. You've heard it, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. After the shellacking liberal Democrats again took in the recent election, you might think they would wise up and head toward middle America, which they lost big time. But no, despite a challenge from a younger Democrat who seems to get what his party needs, House Democrats reelected the uber